Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Jill Tolles, Executive Director of the Kenny Gwynn Center for Policy Priorities, filling in for Sam Shad, who's in D.C. this week. And I'm joined today by Mike Stewart and Christine Callagher from the Gwynn Center to talk about question three, ranked choice voting and open primaries, for an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Hit the open road on a brand new Harley or win a bundle of cash during the $250,000 Harley-Davidson giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Thousands in weekly giveaways, plus multiple grand prize winners, including cash and seven brand new Harleys. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
They want us to believe we only have two options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future. One that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild. A path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Jill Tolles, Executive Director of the Kenny Gwynn Center for Policy Priorities, filling in for Sam Shad, who is in D.C. this week. And I am joined here today by Mike Stewart, Research Director, and Christine Callagher, Assistant Director of, you might have guessed it, the Gwynn Center. And we are here today to talk about question three. So obviously we all work together, and I'm very aware of this report that the Gwynn Center put out back in March. But what people may not know is that as executive director, I'm not actually the one doing the research. So oftentimes I come to these reports with just as much curiosity as anyone else and excitement about what did we find. And for those who don't know, the Gwynn Center is a statewide, nonpartisan, evidence-based, data-driven, independent policy research center. We're affiliated with the University of Nevada, Reno, and we are made up of researchers, policy directors, faculty, graduate students, and subject matter experts that conduct research on education, economic and fiscal policy, health and social policy, governance and elections, and some natural resources and land policy. So very excited to hear what the research team learned about question three. Mike, let's start with you, and first just answer the question. What is question three? What is it that the voters are going to be deciding on in November on the ballots?
Great. So ballot question number three is an initiative proposal that proposes to change the Nevada Constitution to allow Nevadans to participate in open primary elections to choose candidates for the general election. And it also proposes ranked choice voting. And we'll get into how that works in a minute. But it's good to point out that the question specifically provides for ranked choice voting for U.S. Senator, House of Representatives, the governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, state treasurer, controller, and state legislators. Other candidates, such as county commissioners, local races, and that sort of thing, are not included in that ranked choice voting proposal.
Got it. That's a good clarification, because sometimes you might get confused with the local, county races, judges, et cetera. And Christine, why did the Gwynn Center choose this topic? And maybe just tell us a little bit more about how the team chooses topics.
Right. And it is really important to note how we select our topics of research, because we essentially do research in two ways. So the first way is commissioned research projects. So that might come from a state agency who has a policy question or query that they want us to study, that they want our unbiased, independent, nonpartisan approach in helping solve a particular issue. So that's one way. But the other way is really quite simple. It's whatever questions are rising to the surface on Nevadans' minds. And so naturally, question three was an important topic for us to take on, not only because Nevadans at large are curious about this very new form of election proposal, at least for our state, but also because we ourselves were curious about the topic and we had questions. So if we have knowledge gaps about an issue, you can pretty much imagine that most Nevadans are going to have knowledge gaps about an issue. So it was our goal to take on question three and not to sway anyone one way or the other in terms of how to feel about it or how to vote, but to simply educate and inform on what question three is and what it would do if it was passed.
I think that's important to point out that these reports aren't moving voters to be for or against a particular ballot question, but as you said, just an information tool to help explain. So tell me a little bit more, Mike, about the research team and what methodology was used to approach this topic.
So we do have a research team consisting of faculty, graduate students, subject matter experts, and then of course our own team at the research in the research division of the Gwynn Center. And as Christine mentioned, we knew that there was a need to really look at this question for more awareness, greater understanding. And so we conducted our research in two main phases. One was gathering questions from Nevadans through a statewide survey, which we'll talk a little bit more about those results in a minute, and then taking that survey and providing data-driven information, using academic literature, case studies, interviews with policy experts to sort of clarify the preliminary questions about ranked choice voting, open primaries, and all of that was sort of sourced from our survey. So, and in our survey, we successfully surveyed 803 Nevadans, which was very exciting. We asked questions about their current knowledge, their political engagement, their key areas of interest as it relates to question three, as well as provided opportunities for free response. Then we reached a broad range of ages, levels of education, reported incomes, that sort of thing. And we received at least one response from every county. And then we also received 36% of our respondents who identified as Latinx, which is very representative of our population here in Nevada. So we're really proud of that result.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to dive into what exactly did we find. And so as we look at the survey results, what were some of the key takeaways?
Right. So as Mike mentioned, the big goal of the survey was to identify what Nevada voters said they knew or didn't know about question three. That was the big goal. But we were surprised to see that respondents showed that they also lacked knowledge about how Nevada's current electoral system works. And forgive me, I'm going to rely on my notes for this section because I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at us here for discussion. So when our respondents were asked about which primary election system Nevada currently uses, only 35% of voters, I kind of want to pause there, 35% of respondents to the survey identified that Nevada uses a closed primary, which means that registered Democrats vote in the Democratic primary, registered Republicans vote in the Republican primary, and nonpartisan voters are not able to participate in partisan primary election races. So 65% of respondents, conversely, said that Nevada holds an open primary already, which we do not. And when it came to the reasons why we were seeing this factor here, age really seemed to play a role. So adults over the age of 45 identified that Nevada's current primary system was a closed primary with 47% accuracy. However, adults younger than 45 answered the question with 23% accuracy. Now, the good news is that when we turned attention to the general election system, respondents fared far better. So 71% correctly identified that Nevada elects its representatives using a simple majority system as opposed to a ranked choice system. And when it came to some of the factors that seemed to play a role in these responses, educational attainment rose to the top. So 80% of college graduates correctly identified Nevada's current simple majority system, whereas 64% of non-college grads gave the correct response to that question. So turning our attention to question three now, the survey also showed that Nevada voters have a limited knowledge of the election reforms that question three proposes. 45% of respondents said they knew nothing at all about open primaries, 41% said they knew a little, and 14% said they knew a lot, so not a lot of knowledge there. And when it came to ranked choice voting, it was even more limited. So 58% of respondents said they did not know anything about ranked choice voting, 31% said they knew a little, and 11% said they knew a lot. So at this point in the survey, after asking all of those baseline questions, we allowed respondents to read the actual ballot question language as it appears in everyone's sample ballots. And even after reading the language of the ballot question, only about a fifth of respondents said the language of the explanation was clear and that they understood the voting rules. That's not a lot. The largest shares of respondents said they somewhat agreed that the language was clear and that they understood the rules. This was about 35% of respondents. And the remaining respondents, around 50%, said they were neutral, somewhat disagreed, or strongly disagreed that the language was clear and that they understood the proposed changes. So what we're facing here, at least in this representative survey, is that not only do knowledge gaps exist when it comes to understanding of question three, but our electoral system as it exists today.
So we've got there's a lot of education that needs to be done for both sides of this issue. And I do want to mention that Sam Shad is planning on hosting a future discussion with the opponents and the proponents of this measure on a future show. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
Come celebrate Tamarack Casino's 23rd anniversary with $50,000 in giveaways this September, $5,000 big cash winners every Saturday, and a $10,000 big cash winner during the grand finale celebration on September 28th. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news in between and as it happens.
Life is busy and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Jill Tolles, Executive Director of the Gwynn Center, filling in for Sam Shad. And I'm here today with Mike Stewart, Christine Callagher, continuing the conversation around question three, ranked choice voting and open primaries. And so far we've covered what is question three. The Gwynn Center conducted a statewide survey understanding what exactly do voters understand, and found out that the answer is not a lot, not only about question three and ranked choice voting, but also just about our basic primary system. and that there were some differences in age, education level, and so forth. So let's dive into a little bit more about exactly how does ranked choice voting work,
sure.
And what was the process to get it through into the Nevada Constitution? What happens after that?
Oh, sure. So with constitutional initiatives, it's very important for folks to realize that to change the Nevada Constitution through an initiative process, Article 19 of the Nevada Constitution provides that the initiative must appear in two successive elections and be approved in two successive elections. So we're on round two of ballot question three. So this is the last chance for voters to register their opinion on ballot question number three. So
and it passed by 53% the first time.
It did. Right? Yeah, 53%. So it's going to be on the ballot again in November 5th.
And it has 5th. To pass by over 50%.
Correct.
In order to get into the Constitution.
Yep, that's correct. And so, and that's just a protective threshold that we've decided to put in the Constitution years ago in Article 19. So as we talked about, ballot question number three does those two things. I think we're pretty clear about the open primary portion of it. But like you said, there's a ranked choice voting portion of this as well that, you know, it can get kind of confusing, so hopefully we'll explain this and provide some input for our voters. So the premise of ranked choice voting is as it sounds. At the polls, and with ballot question three, if approved, is when you go to the polls or use your mail ballot, you rank the selections on the general election ballot in order of your preference. So remember that since ballot questions calls for the advancement of five candidates for that open primary piece to the general elections, voters have the opportunity to rank up to five candidates. If fewer than five candidates advance to the general, that's okay. And voters simply rank, if they wish, the total number of votes of candidates appearing for each office. The next step is the when tabulation occurs piece. And that happens in a matter of seconds with our new technology and the tabulation processes that we have. And it means that if your top choice does not win and that candidate gets elected, don't worry, the votes for your second ranked candidate is then added to the tally for that candidate in the next round of tabulation. And this process continues until a candidate receives a majority of the total votes cast. So in general, if ballot question three is approved, the tabulation methodology would kind of look like this. If the highest ranked candidate receives a majority of votes, that's 50 plus one, the candidate is declared elected and no more tabulation is required. If no candidate receives a majority and there are fewer, there are two or fewer candidates remaining, the candidates with the most votes is declared elected and no further tabulation is required. In all other instances, tabulation would advance to what we call, let's say, a round two. So if your first choice was not for the eliminated candidate, your vote would remain for that candidate. But the candidate with the least amount of first choice votes is eliminated, and the votes cast for that eliminated candidate are then added to the totals for each ballot's second choice candidate. Essentially, if your top choice is eliminated in the initial tabulation, your vote is just redistributed to the second choice candidate in that next round of tabulation. And then new rounds of tabulation occur until a candidate receives majority. Think of that 50 plus one of total votes cast.
Okay. And so this isn't the first state that's taken a look at this. This isn't the first jurisdiction. Where have we seen this before? And what's been the outcome?
So statewide levels, only Alaska and Maine have ranked choice voting at the state level. And however, ranked choice voting is not a new thing. We've had it in local jurisdictions for some time. Several local jurisdictions across the country, including St. Paul, Minnesota, Portland, Maine, many of the cities in the San Francisco Bay Area, and even New York uses ranked choice voting for its primary election system. Now, more recently, some states have chosen to specifically prohibit ranked choice voting. There's 10 states that have done that so far: Alabama, Florida, Idaho, Louisiana, Kentucky, Montana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and South Dakota, and Tennessee. They are now making moves to specifically or have specifically prohibited ranked choice voting. But the legal status of the remaining states does remain unknown. However, we do know that voters in Idaho, Colorado and Oregon will be considering initiatives to impose ranked choice voting for their statewide elections. So there's a lot of activity in this on both sides across the country.
So we're seeing a push-pull. Some states wanting to impose it, others banning it.
Correct.
All right, let's go ahead and take one more break, and we'll be back for an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Worked hard all your life paying into Social Security. Now that's something to admire. But Sam Brown disagrees. In fact, Sam Brown was caught on tape calling a plan that could phase out Social Security and Medicare something to admire. That's what Brown said about eliminating the Social Security and Medicare hundreds of thousands of Nevadans rely on. There's nothing to admire about that. Sam Brown, can't trust him to be for you. Win Senate is responsible for the content of this ad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers, continuing our discussion on question three, ranked choice voting and open primaries. So if the voters do pass question three in the November ballot, what happens next? It changes the Constitution, but it doesn't just stop there.
That's correct. You're right. It changes the Constitution. But as with most constitutional initiatives, the legislature has to respond in some way to basically align our state law with what's proposed in the question, and specifically ballot question number three requires the legislature by July 1 of 2025 to provide by law provisions that are consistent with the changes in the proposal, and it further declares void any laws that or regulations that conflict with these newly created provisions. This is not uncommon at all for constitutional initiatives. Trailer legislation, as we sometimes call it, it's very common in these cases, and as you can imagine, a lot of changes will need to be considered in Nevada's election law, Chapter 293 of the NRS, as it relates to the nomination procedures for primary elections, and also the methods by which votes are tabulated under this new ranked choice voting system if it's approved.
Christine, where can viewers go if they want to learn more, and what other research is coming out this fall ahead of the next legislative session?
That's a great question. And the easy short answer is for viewers to go to gwincenter.org in order to find out more about our research, this report on question three in its long form, as well as our other research, research initiatives from the last 10 years of our existence. So that's the short answer. I'm happy to say we have two additional resources coming out specifically on question three. One of those is a research brief that was done in partnership with UNR's Latino Research Center about the way the data of our survey panned out specifically for Latino or Latinx voters. So it squarely looks at those data. Also, we have a brief coming out on question three, just a couple of pages, which will be highly readable, easy to manage. We also have a couple major reports coming out in the fall, two on education, one on the new pupil-centered funding plan, an analysis there, as well as an analysis on early childhood governance systems. We have a report on housing affordability coming out in November, and then early next year, we're excited to say we're going to release an introductory report on healthcare workforce, but specifically how it impacts Nevada's economic development efforts. So that's a nexus that doesn't really get explored that often, and it's very important. So we're excited to see what's to come.
Great. Some others I know on student behavioral health, been a hot topic for a lot of parents and students out there, as well as on labor force participation.
That's right.
Why is Nevada the third largest drop after COVID?
Yep.
And what are some of the factors there? Well, thank you so much. We're out of time. Appreciate you both coming onto the show. And looking forward to more discussions in the future about this really important topic. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
Come celebrate Tamarack Casino's 23rd anniversary with $50,000 in giveaways this September. $5,000 big cash winners every Saturday. And a $10,000 big cash winner during the grand finale celebration on September 28th. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Thank you for joining us for Nevada Newsmakers. Please check out nevadanewsmakers.com to watch all the episodes, and we'll see you next time.